Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to episode number 459. Today's title is, you know, we do these titles to get your attention. So it's how to generate loads of real estate leads per month online in 2025. And really, ultimately, we're having this conversation and giving you the title of this email because if you're not, if your lead generation hasn't changed over the last year, then you're one of maybe 1% of realtors who haven't taken a complete smack in the face as it relates to lead generation. So we're going to give you some ideas about how to ramp up in areas that perhaps you either hadn't thought of, or perhaps this will be a reminder that this does work, always works, and should work for you. All right, without any further ado, John, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself? You are the master of all things related to this podcast. He is the guy that puts the subjects together. I just riff based on 35 years of sales experience usually and some about 16, 17 years worth of SEO experience. But this is definitely something that John's been extremely passionate about since the very moment that we met, which is CRMs and CRM efficiency. So why don't you both introduce yourself and explain why you've been so passionate on this subject since as long as I've known you.
All right, thanks, Robert. I'm the joint founder of mail-write.com, MailWrite, and we produce leads through Facebook advertising with an integrated system, a website, an easy-to-use CRM, and a load of other digital functionality that you get in one great package, one great price. And to find more, all you have to do is go over to the MailWrite website, and you can book a free chat with me. Back over to you, Robert.
Didn't explain why you're so passionate about CRMs.
I'm not sure I'm passionate. I think people are interested and I think it's important, but it won't, having a great CRM won't generate leads. Just having it is using it the right way. And that's what one of the things we're going to be talking about, aren't we, Robert?
Yep. So first on this list is the truth about real estate lead generation. And like I'm just reading on John's list here, ladies and gentlemen, the truth about real estate lead generation, while in 2% of leads are hot right away. And this is a subject that I could talk all day on, and I have on my YouTube channel and other places online, because the idea, but I also feel like any professional salesperson knows this, John. Like anybody who's been in sales for a while knows this. The people that don't know this are people that haven't been in sales for very long. Because if you're in sales for a long time, especially if you're an incredibly good salesperson, you know that you can be the best salesperson in the entire world. But if the person that you're talking to is simply not ready to make the decision, especially in real estate, which is a huge decision and requires many steps to become somebody that's ready to move, ready to go. So the 2% of people ready right away, I think, refers to the idea in lead generation that you get a lead and they're like, I am 30 days away from moving and I've got an approved loan and this is my budget. Let's go. Is that what you meant? Is that how you perceive that question? You probably took it from somewhere, but is that how you recognize that question?
Kind of. And I see why you've given that outline, but I had more of a focus around digital lead generation. And I think we've discussed this before, the misconceptions of what is a lead. Mm-hmm. And I think some of that misunderstanding has been generated by those that are offering lead generative platforms intentionally. Mm-hmm. But I also think in the real estate industry, those that are utilizing these type of platforms think that somebody filling in a form, downloading a lead magnet, that everybody that does that or signs up on your website is going to be a hot lead that's going to straight away generate a possible sell or buy or generate some form of commission. And that just isn't the truth, Robert.
No, it's not. It's not the truth. It's not even close to the truth. And these are very, 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 very good points. I've sold a lot of stuff over a long period of time. And in the last 20 to 30 years of my career, I've been somewhere towards number one or two at any sales organization that I've been part of. And my philosophy is not complicated. You get on the phone, you find people who have the general qualifications of what a customer looks like to you, and then you build relationships, and relationships are what bear fruit. And the same thing would hold true even if you're doing hammering out calls, if you're an opener for a real estate agent, a closer for a real estate agent, it doesn't matter. You're looking for people that you connect with, and then you keep track of those people. And then you build a schedule for yourself every single day where you're on the phone for a few hours a day, filled with people that you know are qualified, that you've had conversations with before, that you know there's a relationship and there's some kind of movement towards them making a move. And then you start to follow up, and you use the follow up not as an excuse to try to make a sale, but as an excuse to try to generate a better relationship, because that will absolutely lead to the sale every single time. There's a guy out there by the name of Harvey McKay, Jonathan, who is one of my favorite authors of all time, because he doesn't teach tactics. He's more similar to Dale Carnegie in How to Win Friends and Influence People. And his methods are so simple and so human affirming. People would have a hard time understanding them as sales tactics. Because what he does is he memorizes things about the people that he meets, such as what's their alma mater, when's their birthday. And he used to develop a file around people that he was speaking to. Now, he made sure that the decision makers he was tracking all this information for were extremely relevant to him. So he thought big, aimed high. But at the same time, he knew the secretary's name, her birthday, at like, what does she have a picture of a shih tzu on her desk? Because this is back in the days in which you went to somebody's house. But these days, you could do the same thing using social media. You find out a lot about somebody. You find the areas that are point mutual areas of interest, and then you open up dialogues and relate to them on those fronts. And you focus on areas of synchronicity, not opposition. And you build a strong relationship. And if you have enough strong relationships, you're going to have a strong sales portfolio. Like, you're going to have a lot of sales. And that is where I think this whole conversation, here's how to generate loads of leads, because you're not wrong, man. I know clients, I know real estate agents that are doing incredibly well, but that's because really experienced, talented salespeople like Ricky Carruth do incredibly well in down markets. Why? They're still getting on the phone and doing the same thing they always do. The people are less inclined to respond to digital advertising. They're sitting on the fence. So what happens when you reach out to them directly? You have a chance to get them off the fence. That's what Ricky does, and he's losing less people to impulse decisions. So he's got the people out there just sitting on the fence, raring and, you know, waiting for somebody to tell them what to do in a topsy-turvy market. It's a fucking brilliant opportunity. Sorry for the language. You go ahead and read number two on the list. My screen isn't moving, so I'm actually asking you because I can't seem to.
Sure. How to structure your CRM for efficient lead management. And I would say keep it simple, unless you're doing a lot of digital paid advertisement and you've got somebody in the organization that's either spending half their time or is a full-time digital advertisement online manager. I think, and you've got a central person that's kind of farming the leads out to various individuals in your boutique brokerage. If you're doing this individually or you've got a virtual assistant or some form of assistant, keeping the CRM system as simple as possible. And I think it doesn't matter what terminology you use, but I would keep it to a three-stage level. Those that are going to buy in the next 3 months, those that might buy or sell in the next 6 to 12 months, and those that aren't going to buy or sell in a 12-month period. And you might add a fourth, which are previous clients. But I leave that to your feedback, Robert.
All of that sounds great. And ladies and gentlemen, I've used tons of CRMs, massive amounts of them. And generally speaking, I have a strikingly simple way to manage my contacts. I learned a long time ago that my brain works better when I have everybody I'm supposed to call on a single screen. No reminders, no pop-ups, no none of that bullshit. So what I generally do is I go to, well, let's see here. I'm trying to see if I could share my screen and do this, but I may not be able to figure out how to find the right page, and HubSpot reorganized itself. And it's not as simple as it once was. It's, they think it is, but I fucking hate these CRMs when they go through and they reorganize everything after you've got all this ages and ages of experience trying to working with a certain UX, and then all of a sudden they change it and go, it's going to be more efficient. You're like, oh, great. Thank you. Because now that only takes me a year to realize your efficiency. So ladies and gentlemen, and that's my main thought about all of this, John, using CRMs. It's like HubSpot is the best CRM out there, but you guys all just heard my frustration with it. They've changed the UX and I still don't know where everything is. They think they simplified it, but I got used to it the other way. I had years and years of it using it the other way. So they just upended my user experience. Nobody ever asked me if I wanted my user experience changed. And so I didn't. I don't. Once I learned something, I don't want to change. So what I generally use is I actually use like Google Calendar or Outlook, and I create just a list of people, like I throw it to a calendar and just port them day to day and just take them, like throw them into another calendar. It's CRMs and everything. If you're a really, really great salesperson, mostly overcomplicated, very simple process. Give me a list of people to call. That's it. That's it. Other CRM efficiencies such as email management, managing messages. If you're a really good salesperson, you don't want most of this stuff, John. Like I don't want a machine sending out template emails to people I have just busted my ass building a personal relationship with, because one bad pro forma templated email can destroy the sense of importance that that person feels with their connection with you. And the very second you make them feel like a number is the very second you lose their,
I see where you're coming from, but I don't quite agree with you, because obviously MailRite, we have a landing page system that works with Facebook. Either we run the Facebook adverts for you, or if you want to, you can do it yourself. You get a landing page system, and then it will automatically send out text messages or emails, and you can customize all the ones that we provide and put your own system in. So I kind of stand in the middle road, but I do understand where you're coming from, where people, there are providers that say, we've got this follow-through system and you don't have to customize it at all. And it will get the results, and it's all been scientifically tested and blah, blah. Yeah, I don't really believe that. These are only tools, you know, and they can be abused. And I think with AI, which I really love, it's made a big difference to me personally, but I also see it being totally abused as well. So that's my two pennies.
Okay.
He's writing this down, folks, I think.
Yeah.
He's going to hold it against me forever, folks.
I just realized that we came up with another subject for a video. And if I've also realized that when I come up with these ideas, if I don't write them down in the moment and send them to my, somebody on my team, they won't ever happen. And this was a good one. Cause I've realized in the answering to this question, John, in my experience, while realtors tend to be very hard workers, they don't work hard in the digital arena. Okay. What they do is, if you and I create a template system for them and say, this is an outline, a framework, and then, you know, but you need to fill it in with your own information to customize it, to personalize it. Well, they generally don't. Almost 98% don't. And they say, oh, it's not worth the time. It's not worth this, not that. Or people say funnels work. I've never, whatever, right? More people fall towards the antiquated form of real estate salesperson that I'm describing to you than a digital marketer, which is why we talk about it and why we have a podcast. It's worth talking about. People can listen to 100 of these shows before they're willing to spend 10 hours learning how to customize like Facebook follow-up systems or CRMs or whatever else it is that we're talking about. Which leads very nicely into number three, which we're gonna cover in a second here. But before we do, number three is gonna dig a little bit more into the value of building relationships, because digital tools are only as good as the relationship that they surround, that they support. That's it. And at the best, at the very, very highest level, digital tools and digital marketing can open a door for you into a communication with somebody. But there's this misconception that that the digital is going to build the entire relationship for you. And while it can, it takes a very long time for that to happen. I know, I'm an inbound marketer, it's exactly what I do, but it's not fast. It takes a long time to build a strong relationship without ever having to talk to somebody. So we're going to cover some of those interesting points when we come back. Stay tuned, everybody. Thanks for tuning in the first place. We really appreciate it. Go ahead and do us a favor and thumbs up this wherever you're listening to this podcast. Yeah. All right. We'll be right back.
Do you want quality leads from homeowners and buyers right in your own neighborhood? Then you need MailRite. It is a powerful but easy to use online marketing system that uses Facebook to generate real estate leads at a fraction of the cost you'd pay from our competition. We stand behind our work with a no question asked 30-day money back guarantee. So don't delay. Get started today. Go to mail-write.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We're coming back to episode number 459 of the MailRite Show. We're talking about how to generate loads of real estate leads today. And we're certainly trying to give you a wake-up call to do stuff that you probably know you should be doing, but you're not. And number three on our list here was the importance of building relationships, asking great questions, and establishing your brand as a trusted advisor. So, John, what do you think, when you're asking somebody the right questions, how did you learn how to, like, for your, let's say for another one of the businesses that you own, the learning two
businesses?
One could argue that all the podcasts you own are also businesses.
The first one was started, it's my biggest, but it was started as an accident. I had no commercial intent at the time. I just thought if I built influence, it could be useful, and it has been useful, right? The second one, this one, because I built MailRite. And the number three, which is the Membership Machine Show, was done very intentionally because it generates hopeful, like this show, some interest in my target audience for my other business.
Okay.
But to get to this point three, I think digitally, I think the thing, and we've touched this on numerous times, and it was one of the, has, and probably still is, one of the biggest lead generation tools for you, mm-hmm. has been video. Because the person who recommended you to me, and I watched your videos, and I thought, oh, I'll just ask him if he would want to be a co-host on my podcast and just see if he was interested or not. And you considered, and then you were gracious enough to say yes. Was that I watched your videos, and I got, you know, you're a bit edgy. It was obvious you knew what you were talking about. I thought you might up for being my podcast co-host. What would you lose? You would only try it out. And if you didn't like it, you'd just say, sorry, it's not my cup of tea. Wouldn't hold it against you forever. But you were introduced by your videos, and that's why I think video, when it comes to digital marketing, is pretty important.
I agree. I mean, I agree, but what questions, and that, by the way, asking the right questions and establishing your brand as a trusted advisor. Establishing your brand as a trusted advisor, that bit right there. Establishing your brand as a trusted advisor. Man, oh man, John. I think that for the individual salesperson getting his career started, nothing is more important than simply meeting a lot of people and talking about your business. That's it. Face-to-face, one-to-one, that's it. But when you start talking about, okay, I'm not doing that anymore. I've spent 7 or 8 years in the trenches. I'm a pretty decent salesperson. I know how to do that. Now it's about building a brand or, and it doesn't matter. Personal brand, like your brand as a salesperson, doesn't make a difference. Remax or whoever you're working with, believe me, they're not going to support your career forever, even though that's what they want you to believe. You want to create a brand where you can move it around at wherever you go, whether it's for yourself or other people, and have it mean something. That your name is connected to a certain level of service and it has nothing to do with the brand, that the bigger brand, quote unquote, that you supposedly represent. And there's no more effective way, John, in my opinion, than video. And I'm glad you mentioned everything you mentioned about me, because it's like I am different and edgy and I compromise not at all. And so when you are talking about, do I appeal? Am I Tom Ferry? Hell no. I never will be. I never will be. I don't want to be. And so it's fine. Like, I don't want to be. But when you're sitting here going, but do I want a brand? Do I want a business? The answer is absolutely 100% yes, I do. I just want to find people that are going to like gel with me. And video, you're right. Video has done that for me. You're not the only one that vetted whether or not they wanted to work with me or talk to me through video. Big, huge guys at real estate marketing companies have done that. And they already know before they talk to me, can we handle Robert's brand of edginess? And I suspect strongly I probably lose way more business than I gain, John.
Who knows?
Yeah, but at the same time, I'm not sacrificing any piece of my soul or heart to do it. So it makes me pretty happy.
Are you? I just want one thing that I don't agree with what you've said, but I normally agree with most of what you say, is, and this might be a little bit controversial, is I don't think being a really good real estate agent is being a good salesperson.
Okay.
And what I mean by that is these, obviously the element I think is really important to study is dealing with objections, right? Because I think unless you educate about the element of being an effective salesperson around dealing with objections, I think you're going to flap around a lot. It's going to quicken your ability to be successful, right? But the other bits of traditional sales education, I think, have diminished a bit, really, because it's going to be interesting how this plays out in the next few years because of AI.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the kind of traditional model, when it comes to real estate, I think it's more about competence. It's more about being seen as a trusted advisor. It's more about, do you know your local market and can you demonstrate that? These are the key things that I think people are looking for. And then dealing with objections is the more pure sales practice and training side, and having some structure to the madness and keeping the structure. But that's my view.
Strongly disagree, but I appreciate your view. I think that the art of negotiation and subtle manipulation, there is no career or profession where it's more necessary than a real estate agent. A real estate agent's sales process, John, can be 2 to 5 years. And so that requires a massive amount of both sales and relationship building. And I think what you're talking about is the old idea that sales is just about a single instance in which a salesperson is in front of a prospect and they close five times, deal with the object, overcome objections, so on and so forth. Whereas a real estate salesperson has overcome about 100 objections over time, all the way from why can't I paint my walls green, you know, to because I like it and who the fuck cares about these new buyers and blah, 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 you know, whatever, whatever, right? All the way to which some people could argue is relationship building. But I think that's all part of the professional modern salesperson's skill kit and package. Like you have to be all of these things. I have a client who probably wouldn't phrase himself as a great salesperson, Derek Vaughn. And he just posted a video not too long ago where he managed to get a 35% bump over asking on a teardown, like on a teardown. So it wasn't just like some fancy home that he got people into a bidding war. He actually got investors to get into a bidding war for the home, which is harder to do. And he explained how he did it. And it was really a lot of just rolling up your sleeves and doing some old school perseverance and discipline. Like he contacted 17 different people that expressed interest and basically through his own diligence, created enough of a relationship with the teardown through his sales skill and practice, basically explaining how good the market was in South Pasadena. So he didn't sell one person. He sold 17 and, you know, creating an idea of urgency and limited market availability and all the things that you need to do in order to create momentum so that at the end of the day, of these 17 people, two of them bought into his marketing, you might say, and that yielded 35% more revenue for his customer. It's just old school perseverance. And the idea of sales is really about tenacity, perseverance, and overcoming. And I think that they're all those three things are no more important in real estate than any other profession. I think they top the list. But if you're going to say the old school idea of a person coming into a single like conversation, overcoming objections, the only time that's relevant in real estate and a lot of other sales is when you're initiating, like you're trying to create a lead. You overcome somebody's objections about why they don't want to get into the market or buy the widget or talk about the widget at this exact second. That requires a lot of like actual traditional sales skills, overcoming objections, things like that. Let's talk about number four on your list, how to work with your sphere of influence and past clients for quicker conversions. So, did you come up with an answer to that?
Well, I think it's being aware that most real estate, and we've talked about this quite a bit, which we're bound to, aren't we? Is that when you look at the statistics, unless people have bought into very specific sales methodologies that are out there in the real estate industry that, you know, really aim at keeping close to a tight group of people. When you look at most of the statistics, really most agents are terrible about keeping in contact with previous clientele, previous people that they've had some interaction with. They are awful at it when you look at the statistics. And I think they're about right, but I'd be interested in your views on it.
I think that you're right. I think that I've designed my marketing company shooting for the lowest possible load-bearing system to keep in touch with people. That's why I established inbound marketing. Like the idea is because the only thing that I'm overcoming is that realtors think it takes longer to see fruit, but it's less work over time. And the reason it's less work is that maintaining of your sphere of influence, I produce one good piece of content per month. My only follow-up to every single person in my database is trying to get that content in front of me. The quality of the message may not be one that they want to engage with. But when it is something that they want to engage with, I want to make sure I created something worthy of their attention. that keeps you top of mind. If they want to call you, they're going to call you. Like, that's my opinion. I teach my clients the same concept. With most of my clients, a really strong piece of local content they do, John, to keep their sphere of influence warm is talking about the local marketplace, like a market update once a month. And depending on how good you are at tuning into what your what the people who either live or thinking of living in your area care about, is how effective that market update is going to be at warming your sphere and keeping them engaged and then reaching out to you. I will tell you this though, John, my handful of clients that follow the monthly updates prescription produce about 20 to 30% more sales consistently than the clients that don't. Like, it's the thing that is frustrating for most people who are really great salespeople is that there is no rhyme or reason to it. You're not controlling the flow of the relationship. Whereas if you were calling them, you could control when and how and where you're going to follow up, and you're essentially adding pressure to the client to make a decision within a time frame, maybe one that they committed to, but still people's minds change. Whereas the email system and updating them, like, it allows lots of variance, like lots of mind changing. But what the difference in thought processes is the reason the inbound leads are so strong is somebody may have like thought they wanted to call you 50 different times and they never did. But by the time they do, they're really ready. Does that make sense?
Yeah. But also think that, you know, but utilizing something like BombBomb and having in your database, in your CRM, a previous people you've done some business with, and then producing something of value about their property and then sending a BombBomb video with the report or some content. I think in a quiet period, that is something that you should investigate doing.
Mm-hmm.
Which is very different to automation and other digital processes where you're using Facebook or you're using organic SEO and inbound marketing techniques. So, yeah, that's what I was thinking about.
I got you. And I don't disagree with that. All right, steps number five to convert cold prospects. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're now into bonus territory. You've officially sat with us for 30 minutes. And if you're going to sit with us for a few more, what you're sitting here for is we're going to talk about how to convert old prospects. We're going to talk about some of the ideas or the value propositions in a high touch follow-up process. And these are definitely 100% things for those of you that are mentally and emotionally geared for them. There's no doubt that the following two things we're going to talk about will generate you more business. There's no doubt that in a tough market, the passive way is not for everybody. So, which is me. Like, you want, if you have any aggression in you whatsoever, any concern about your income, you're really going to want to listen to these bonus subjects. So number five, John, steps to convert cold prospects through genuine, helpful outreach. Now, we covered a form of genuine, helpful outreach from my perspective. What do you consider a form, single form? Just give us one example. Genuine, helpful outreach.
Yeah, sorry. I did touch that. I should have left it at this step. But I thought, I didn't know we were going to do the bonus content. Which is, I outlined it, which is utilizing BombBomb.
Okay.
Doing that kind of.
That's fair.
But I think you can do it generally in, you know, sending out more customized email to that particular list with more customer, higher value reports or value content. That's really tailored because it's worth, because you've already had that relationship with that person. So it's probably worth your while or somebody in your team to customize more content for that particular individual.
A really powerful, 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 powerful structure for content is a mix of in-person and digital strategies combined, connected together, strung together. And so here's an example that I'm pulling from my actual account base from a top performing team in LBI, Long Beach Island, high-end luxury oceanfront real estate in New Jersey. And what the client did and we collaborate on is we create some really focused lifestyle blog posts. Like we just did a big one on pickleball, and pickleball is big on the island. It's not big everywhere, John. It's just big on LBI. And so they've got big pickleball courts and things, and it's not a big island. So to say that there's multiple places you can play pickleball is pretty impressive. So they dialogue not only about pickleball, but they followed it up because there was like pickleball, amateur national championships and things like that on the
island. You think there's going to be a series, The Wives of Pickleball?
I don't know. But I'll tell you this. This is what I think is genius. And it has generated a lot of interest from them. Not only did they talk about it, but it's a family that's running this project with me. And one of the family members went to the courts during some of the games, the champion, you know, the group championships. So they put face like to their informational brand and probably added some additional content. I don't remember if they did or did not take some pictures and add it to their blog post, but I think that they did. And the end result is that not only do we have a top ranking blog post for pickleball in this particular location, but we have involvement from the team inside the actual group activity. You connect these dots together and you get an ever increasing momentum based reason to have high touch with the people that follow your blog. Because not only did we talk about it, did we start to see some ranking on it, but now we showed up, created more content from showing up, pictures and video and stuff like that. Then we're able to say congratulations to the winners. These are the winners. And then we're able to send that out to our entire list. And every single person on our entire list now that is really deeply involved in pickleball, whether as an entertainment, a sport, or as a actual serious pursuit, they all are like, oh, God damn, these guys are the guys. So it's like being a soccer player and having a realtor who used to be a professional soccer player. Like if Pele was a freaking real estate salesperson, everybody in the pro league would buy their home from him. I guarantee it. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So anyway. All right. The power of a high touch value packed weekly newsletter. John, I've never been great at weekly. I'm great at monthly. I'm terrible at weekly. So are you good at weekly?
Yeah, I do send a weekly on my other business. And what's helped is what I'm doing now is I'm talking to the camera and just spewing my thoughts out, and I'll put it into AI, and then it gives me and I put in prompt that specifically copied from somebody else and adapted it. And it goes through the video and it gives me copy. And then I go in and give it a little edit and boom, that's a more customizable, more content opinion piece for my weekly newsletter.
I think it's a great idea, ladies and gentlemen. I think when it comes to AI shortcuts, we should, like, we've already done some shows, but John, you need to keep dropping that information. And I'm so sorry, but you put this business on the street enough times that I feel comfortable sharing your business, which is John is dyslexic. And so, which is why I am the voice of the show. This show was founded by John. It's not founded by me. He has let me host it because at certain times his dyslexia has caused issues, most when we had guests, not really when it's just the two of us. But because of that, he asked me to be the voice of the show. But I got to say, your application for AI has been legitimately inspiring to me. Because I think that you're working, I think the AI for people that might be challenged, such as like you, is going to be a freaking game changer, like a game changer. Imagine how much time you're saving over trying to struggle through both the research, which people don't understand. Like we do a lot of research to create content. So John has to read and stuff. And I have to write. I'm terrible at writing. I'm ADHD. So writing is my problem, but reading is not. And comprehension is not. I'm actually, I consume knowledge at an incredible rate, but I can't regurgitate it in anywhere near the same speed or clip. So I think it's an inspiring way to use it. And I'm really glad that you mentioned it. In terms of high value pack weekly newsletters, while I could easily recommend them to everybody, ladies and gentlemen, I don't do it myself. I think in the digital realm.
Well, honestly, I think one of the services that you provide to your clients, your big provider of template and content to your clients for producing a monthly or a report, aren't you? Because I've seen some of them. You and your team spend a lot of time on it, don't you?
Yep, absolutely. We spend tremendous amount of time. So, like many, like probably a few hundred hours each month. So we're teaching and training. So we spend a ton of time on our content most of the time. Every once in a while we cut corners, but most of the time we don't. And so, because my driving force, like John, I'll spend my own money on the value of a message. I am good with it. Like I just want things to be valuable to the people that are consuming it. And I overspend on all content related items. But having said that, so if you're going to be like me and focus, like quality is really important to you and you're very anal about your informational brand, it's probably one of the only things I am anal about. I'm going to say, ladies and gentlemen, that a monthly is going to work great for you because it works great for me, John. Like it's as long as the value is there, people do tune in. I learned that from Neil Patel, by the way. As long as the value is there, people will tune in. Like you can just, and if you ever do like deep research pieces where you spent years like gathering data and then you put a nice spreadsheet and little like Moz, Neil Patel, everybody ever who's created SEO has been like wildly successful. The problem is, of course, that it takes a long time. But all right, I think that's a good place to stop. We are exactly about 10 minutes past on bonus content. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you enjoyed the show. I've been Robert Newman. I've been leading the pod. Well, my voice has been the one guiding the podcast. John is the one who produces the podcast. But if you'd like to talk to me about anything online marketing, digital marketing related, SEO related, you can still reach out and get a free consultation from me at inboundrem.com. So I hope that you'll do that. And John, how would you like people to reach out to you?
I'll go to the mail-right.com website, have a look at some of the services we offer, and you can book a free chat with me. And I have a chat about anything and I'll try and help you out. Back over to you, Rob.
Lovely. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we've been Robert and Jonathan. We are collectively the MailRight Show. We appreciate you tuning in, listening, giving us some of your time. We really, really respect and value your ears. So if there's anything we can do to help you, be sure to let one of us know. That's it.